願いとか。
May I take this opportunity to bring your greetings all the way from Midrand from Antioch Fellowship?
Did you say to me that you saw Edwin Van at Midrand at Antioch Fellowship?
They express love for you as a Sovereign Grace Ministry.
Lerato le bana leng lona ho lona le le Sovereign Grace.
We can't get enough for praying for you.
Are rapele ka o fitisisa rapela lona.
And we thank God for the opportunity of bringing us together with her from the Sibembe. It has been so much joy since we met together as brethren from Standard Hill, I believe, 2 years ago.
Ebile re tsabole le hono re kopane le ba bana ba ba modimo re kopana Standard Hill di le motse be di tsepe di tsitile.
I always make joke to him to say, "Hey, what is that comes on you there la person ke nwa?"
Ke dula ke etsa joke ho yena hore ke tata ke nehela ke tsong ya ha.
If you may allow me, and I believe just in the grace of the Lord and under the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And under the submission of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we would want to pledge for your structure.
Amen.
Amen. Antioch Fellowship. And we will do it by end of next week.
Amen.
I'm speaking on behalf of Antioch Fellowship.
Amen.
What a monumental task to preach. I'm sure in Pundit your pulpit is very high. Thank you very much. I've been praying, and I believe you've also been praying for this day, that the Lord would assist me, aid me, help me to deliver His inerrant, sufficient, authoritative, and clear word of His grace. Amen. I believe I'll keep within the confines of time. I'm not a long preacher. I'm going to ask you as the church to turn with me to the second letter of Timothy. And the second chapter. This is the last letter that Apostle Paul ever wrote, although not placed chronologically as such, for there is Titus and Philemon placed immediately thereafter. This is actually the very last correspondence of the aging apostle just before his final departure to be with the Lord. Paul writes this letter from Roman prison where he's contemplating his execution, which happened soon thereafter west of Rome according to tradition on Ostian Road Way. Paul expresses his deep-seated affection to his spiritual, beloved spiritual son Timothy. He addresses him as my beloved child in the introduction of this letter, as opposed to the first letter when he addresses Timothy as my true child. With deep affection, Paul, as a faithful steward of the gospel, he writes an open will in which he leaves Timothy, his beloved son, as the beneficiary of his theological work. He's writing from a troubled heart, though. That's overwhelmed by the ugly reality that faces his young age lieutenant of overseeing a church fraught with difficulties of every sort. To make matters worse, the church is situated in the midst of a very wealthy city, Ephesus. Timothy, born and raised in ancient city of Lystra, now modern Turkey.
Timothy
Timothy witnessed a dramatic ministry of miracles of Paul and Barnabas as the two missionaries passed through Asia on their first missionary journey.
Timothy una boni mesebete zanke Paulo sile Barnabas ika misolo e mudimo na bayeta na yeta ka bona.
It is true that he may also witness the ensuing riot where Paul was stoned by the angry crowd, left for dead and revived to life.
He's
the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother, Eunice. Timothy grows up in a household where scriptures are held in high esteem. Both Timothy and his mother may have come to Christ during the Paul's first visit to their city. As he matures, Timothy grows strong in the Lord, studying the scriptures and encouraging believers in Lystra and nearby Iconium. Because of his reputation as a wholehearted young disciple of Jesus Christ, he's asked to accompany Paul on his second missionary journey. And Paul, realizing in order to remove all possible hindrances for Timothy's usefulness in the work of evangelization among the Jews, Paul decides to circumcise his young man. For nearly a decade, Timothy ministers at Paul's side or in Paul's behalf in the cities and towns around the Roman world. He becomes one of the most trusted lieutenants, sharing the apostle's dangers, triumph, disappointment, and affection for the struggling new churches. Ultimately, Timothy accompanies Paul on the final trip to Jerusalem, where Paul is imprisoned, and Timothy remains loyal at his side during that imprisonment. Upon Paul's release from Roman custody, Timothy is dispatched to Philippi, bearing news of the release. He later meets Apostle Paul in Ephesus, where Paul prepares the trip to Macedonia, and he instructs Timothy to remain in Ephesus in order to counter persistent problem of four teachers. Trouble starts there. Now, I'm giving you this background so that you can understand why Paul is seething with sympathy and love towards Timothy as instructing on his letter before he dies the things that he's going to tell him. Now, this occurs around AD 60s, just a few decades into the birth of the new church. The church is captured into struggle of fighting for its own very life. Wilkinson and Libby put the struggle of the early church this way, I quote. On one side was the malicious, jealous, frustrated Judaism that praised the church. On the other side is the strengthening influence of decadent paganism and overreach that the iron hills of Rome and Code. To borrow the words of one preacher, Ephesus was suffering from spiritual AIDS. AIDS is the AIDS, as we all know, is no particular disease of some sort, but it's rather a state of one's health.
AIDS
stands for acquired immune deficiency syndrome. What it means is that the immune system of the body is rendered deficient by the syndrome of diseases that enter the body without detection. Without the detections, because it's the only system that is meant to fight back the disease that has been rendered deficient, and therefore no hope for survival in that state.
But masole ana amili ke wona a emetseng a tshwanetse a melane le mafu a kenang mmeleng empa ga wona a soleha ga o sana maatla a loreng o ka kgona go sola dipile na ka lona.
The building block of support is being destroyed.
Ko tshwere maatla a loreng ke wona a tshwere mmele a sana maatla.
Nothing blocks any kind of disease to come in. That is why at the end of the day we say a person has got a full-blown AIDS.
All organs
are failing. Because the very system that needs to fight the entering of the disease in the body is rendered deficient. It cannot detect any
disease.
Campbell Morgan puts the scene of Ephesus like this. We have to remember the condition of Ephesus at this time. It was a center of abounding commerce. Its citizens were mastered by passion for wealth. The supreme ambition in the activities of the city was that of getting gain. There was moreover a strange religious aspect of this. Ephesus was in the place where the temple of Diana stood. The temple had become to the two merchants of the city both a sanctuary, a place of worship, and a bank.
It
was a place of their worship. It was a place where they deposited their gains or their money. The worship of Diana is becoming itself the very essence of devotion to getting of gain in Ephesus. Ephesus was in the grip of lust for gold. Paul pens this last epistle with a monumental concern for the purity of the church through a sound doctrine. Especially knowing how feeble and young is Timothy in the midst of experienced wealthy Jews and pagan congregants who believe that godliness is a means of gain. It was common to hear messages like, "What are your dreams, brother? Do you want to be rich? Do you long to own a mansion or a villa? You honestly wouldn't love to get behind the wheel of a Bentley 100%
handmade
car? Would you not enjoy the prestige of sending your children to Crawford School in Sandton? Do you want to write your own check with God and astound your friends and confound your enemies? If this is appealing, then become a Christian. Get on God's payroll. And be a blessing to your children and leave the legacy and riches and not poverty. Anyway, to be poor is a sin, brother. Some of you must have heard those kind of preachings. If you think it's anything new, it happened 2,000 years ago. Right, in few decades into the birth of an early church. There was already trouble to pastor a church around the AD
60s.
The old man in prison, knowing full well that he's going to be poured out as a drink offering, he pens this letter with an ink that is guided by tears of love to the timid Timothy, who's always struggling with stomach aches. Knowing full well that he is faced with difficulties of preserving the pure doctrine of the gospel. And he writes, verse 1, chapter 2, let's go to the Bible. Therefore, my son, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of you have gone to school. You may understand that you cannot meet somebody. And when you start conversing with this person, and start by saying, hey, therefore, such and such thing happened, a person will think you're crazy. Because therefore is a connection of something that has been said. So this therefore denotes that there's a connection of something that Apostle Paul has already said to Timothy. And here it reaches the climax. Having said all that he has said, which according to the first letter, when Paul charged Timothy to remain in Ephesus to deal with, number one, the dangers of false doctrine in chapter 1 of first letter, the principle of public worship and church leadership in chapter 2 and 3 of the first letter, he charged him to defend to execute defense against false teachers, exposing them in chapter 4 of the first letter. Also the duties towards others, widows and elders in chapter 5. And in chapter 6, dealing with riches. Now, against this background, he says, you therefore, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus. Paul's primary exhortation is as to the source of the strength which is the grace of Jesus Christ. Be strengthened, the Greek word endunamu. Not simply be strong, but getting strengthened in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. The word appears nearly 26 times in the New Testament strong.
It's
the same word we find in Luke 1:8 and Luke 2:40, where Luke writes, the child grew and waxed in strength.
Il mantiana ba tsholang hape bukanya Luka mo ari ngwana o le a hola ka 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 pika ma.
It's also found in Romans chapter 4 verse 20.
Di tsholato ba Roma chapter 4 verse 20.
Where it refers to Abraham that yet with respect to the promise of God he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith.
Mona iwa Abraham or Eliana haka apela mata kaba kalausta usoka tumelo impaula hula kamata.
According to Romans 15 verse 1,
kaba Roma chapter 2 verse 1.
Those who are strong, of course, in the faith, ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength.
Ba loring habana mata tshwantse ba emise ba loring ba soka mata.
Ephesians 6:10 also refers to Christians being strong in the Lord and the strength of his might.
Bukeng ya ba Ephesians bua ka re be le mata ka mata a moreneng.
1 John 2:4.
Johane 2 verse 4.
John says, I have written to you young men because you are strong.
Ore ke ngote ho lona batho ba batsha o bane
le le mata. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one.
Le tsela modimo le teng hara lona le bilane le sotse ya mobi.
Paul, after becoming a Christian in Acts 9:22,
Paulo ka se le modimedi bona ke ya diketso.
The Bible says Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ.
Ere Paulo sula tsela pele a ho la ka mata a tswet a go tsa ba juta ka mo rena ga ka mo rena Jesus.
Now the big question in Timothy's mind could be, how do I become strong? What do I do to be strong?
So mo mpotso ene le teng ke le lonya Timothy go re ke ka ba jwang ke tla ke tlhokana jwang gore ke be le mata ana.
Now we look at the principles that Paul is laying out verse 2.
Re bona se Paulo se a se beha mona ho verse 2.
The things which were heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Ore mme ditaba tseo di utlwileng ho nna pela dipaki tse ngata o di behe ho batho ba tshepehang ba lokelang ho ruta ba bang le bona.
So Paul is an astute writer and says, you therefore my son be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And by virtue and by being strong, the first principle that you need to follow is that the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Mona Paulus uti ba ngola o tla ka mo jetsa hore a iphe mata mo ha mo Jesu Kriste a tsela pele hape a mo jetsa hore a rute ba bang ba ile re ntse ba tswa tshepe hang ba lokelang hore ba hore aba rute a rute le ba bang.
It's like four generations, that's Apostle Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, faithful men to others also.
Kuchori wona ho tala ka Apostle Paul o tsamo la Timothy, Timothy a ngola batho ba tsepa hang ba tsepa hang bona ba rutsa ba bang.
It's like a relay race for you, for those of you who have been an athlete like myself.
O tsana le relay ha re matha ba lo tsana le ba bang ba tsebang ha re matha sa mabelo.
One of the years back in the 80s, we were running a 4x4 relay race.
And kana ka 1980s ne re matha relay
we in breaks.
Kana ko breaks
in our lineup we had four guys. There were two Godfrey, there was Godfrey and Dina, and then there was me.
Ne re le ba tswa ba ne e le Godfrey bo Godfrey ba ba bedi e le nna le o mong hape.
And the two other gentlemen.
Le ba bang ba ba bedi.
Where the first guy, the very first guy called Andres to the army.
Ne re na le motho wa pele ni Andries e le rena ke na nakala le bile.
And we knew that when Andries started, he's going to open up a gap to give us an opportunity to lead the race.
Ne re tseba hore ha Andries a kala ke na tla re fang sebaka sa hore re be le nako e ngata ya hore re qete le bile.
And he started the race as usual, he opened a big gap.
Yena o la kala le bile a bula gap e makatla.
And he passed on to myself.
Anele ka nna.
And then I went on to pass over to Godfrey, the other one.
Nakatela pele ka neletsa Godfrey o le o mong.
As we got to Godfrey, Godfrey opened the gap before I arrived.
Ha ke fihla ho Godfrey, go tula bula sebaka ha ke fihla.
As I'm passing the baton on,
ha ke neletsa baton ena.
We missed the hand and it fell down. Instead of returning to pick up the baton, he decided to run without the baton. And then to the last guy, and he just touched his hand. And the other guy had to run and stop. And we lost the relay race because the baton failed to pass on. Our parents were disappointed. Our friends were disappointed because we could not reach the logical conclusion of the race. We
are
the best team ever in the relay 4x4
relay race.
And if you think that the worst thing that ever happens, the most painful thing, brethren, is to fail to pass the gospel baton on. And Paul is saying to Timothy, that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Paul, Timothy has been around Paul for many years. And trust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What does Paul mean? Timothy, you are enlightened. Go to those who know less than you, feed them with the gospel. And those who have received, who are less knowledgeable like you, the truth, they also have to find those who still need to be fed and pass the baton on. And it's the same principle that he spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said to the Corinthians, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Just like in John 12, where Jesus Christ was saying that the things that I speak, I don't speak of myself. I hear and I speak. Whatever the Father says, I also speak. I don't take of myself.
John chapter 12, It is passing on.
That's the first principle. And he comes to the second principle. He says to him, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
And
let me tell you something, brethren. Christians of today, they do all they can to avoid suffering. We hear all kinds of preachings that wants to put us as Christians in a comfortable zone.
We try to avoid
all kinds of trials as Christians. Yet our Master Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows. When you read John 16:33, he says, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives to you. This world you shall have troubles or tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. James 1:2 says, consider your joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations or trials.
Jacob chapter 1, verse 2,
for the testing of your faith will produce endurance. And you remember when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, saying, I have suffered shipwreck. I've been in the foul of food. I've been in prison. I've been in danger of my countrymen. I've been in danger of foreigners. I received from the Jews 3 times 39 lashes from them. Apart from these external things, there is a burning desire for me for the welfare of the church, if I may paraphrase it.
It
is a promise that Christians will go through difficulties. I'm sure most of you are sitting here feeling sorry for yourself that they have stolen some poles in the church.
They have
burned our toilets.
We
don't deserve this. Maybe we could be somewhere in the suburb where it's secure. Paul is saying to Timothy, if you are going to be strengthened in the Lord, suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to the third principle. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. He writes this during the Roman Empire. Soldiers were to behave in a particular way. You would not be worried much as to how to converse with friends through WhatsApp on Facebook. You would not worry much about whether there is a new mall that has been opened somewhere else in
Fowens.
Or there is some 50% discount of the shop right that is opening somewhere in whatever place.
Or 50% discount if you are going to shop right to do anything.
All you're focusing on was to please the one who enlisted you in the warfare. That is the third principle that Paul is talking about.
He
simply says that Timothy, you are a faithful preacher of Ephesus. There are many things happening in Ephesus. In the city of commerce.
It's
a coastal city. There's trade happening all over. There are nightclubs taking place around there, very expensive ones. There is Formula One race that is taking place. Pastors are invited to take place in the marches to protect homosexuals and the rights of people in the world.
They
are invited to take place in political discussions and debates. They
are
being consulted to talk about the business strategies. Some of them are holding the titles of a pastor, doctor, CEO, businessman, apostles, and so on.
They've
got multifaceted functions. Their effectiveness has diminished zero. They have no business in pleasing the one listed them in the warfare. They are all over the world because they are suffering from spiritual AIDS. And he says, no soldier in the active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life.
Or how many soldiers they
so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier.
Or as
I always wonder when I come across a Christian.
Who knows
everything about the affairs of the world.
Who will
tell you who composed a song that was a hit that got a Grammy
once? Some hip hop
or rap songs and all those kind of
stuff. Hip hop
and how much wealth does this person has? How many wives has he changed? And all those kind of scandals around the world. But their head contains nothing, not even John 3:16. And I always wonder what kind of a Christian is this one. I met a lady at the shop.
And
a Woolworths I was buying on the counter.
I bought a book.
And as I'm conversing to her, I'm asking her, do you go to church? Are you a Christian? Without any equivocation, she said to me, yes, I am. I go to church all the time. So I never get to miss church. So I said to her, do you entangle yourself in the affairs of this world by any chance? So do you share about Jesus Christ at the workplace? He said, no, not really much, there's no time here. Okay, I said, are you married? He said, no. I have a boyfriend. And I asked her, do you guys, is he a Christian?
He
said, yes. And I ask, do you guys entangle yourself in sex outside marriage? And she went quiet. And she said to me, nobody's perfect. And I said to her, you have the audacity. To call yourself a Christian and listed in the warfare for Christ and you live an abominable life of sexual immorality. Do me a favor. Don't call yourself a Christian. The fifth principle. Verse 5. If anyone competes as an athlete,
Timothy,
he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Alexander the Great, the son of Philip Alexandra, who's the book of Philip is named, or the city of Philip, where Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Philippi, is named after.
Alexander the Great, Eloring, Kimorawa Philip Alexander, Eloring, Tuloya Philippi, Isabayena.
He was one of the greatest warriors. More than Simpson himself. More than Gideon and Joshua put together, even King David or King Hosea, who ruled for 52 years in Israel, the one that Isaiah talks about in chapter 6, where he says, in the year that King Hosea died, I saw the Lord.
So King Uzziah,
Alexander the Great, one of the days, he conquered the whole world.
Alexander,
one of the days, he was being interviewed as he was crying. And they're asking Alexander, why are you crying? He said, I've conquered the whole world. I've got no one else left to conquer.
ore ha tsana motho lo re nkalwana le yena ore ke mosolo.
And one of the days that he was preparing for war,
jalo ka tsa tleleng a ikutsetsa ntwa,
he was restless in the middle of the night.
Una sa khone ho robala bosiu,
he could not sleep.
Una sa khone ho robala,
he decided to take a walk around the barrack.
A khotsa ore a tsamaye mo tenteng ya hae.
And he came across a soldier on the guard. And this soldier was
sleeping.
Who was supposed to be a watchman? And then Alexander went to him and tapped on his soldier.
Alexander, and
he said, "Soldier." And the soldier woke up and said,
"Sir."
He said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Alexander." And Alexander the Great said to him, "Soldier,
Alexander,
what's your name?" He said, "My name is Alexander." And he asked him for the third time, he said, "Soldier, I'm asking, what's your name?" With quivering lips, he said, "My name is Alexander." And he said to him, "Either change your name or change your conduct."
The
any man complete is an asset.
I don't remote to I hate Jalo Kamka Omuma Omatamabi.
He does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules.
Hakumani Mokata, Tatelori Alwaneka Kamula.
The danger of the soldier found on the watch gate sleeping was a death sentence. And he knew that he's going for execution.
You
had a complete with the rules, Timothy, a pastor in this church.
Or
in your Christian life while you're sitting in the Sovereign Grace Ministry this morning, or change your name. Don't call yourself a Christian and contaminate the body of Christ. And he's coming to the last principle. The hard-working farmer ought to be first to receive his share of the crops. You remember why he said in 2:15 that study to present yourself as a workman who did not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rahukula Mona chapter 2, verse 15, are Utiema, the Wiketa, Yakimelahang, Umudimu, Musebetin Yasinangu, Yatua, Yakutang, Lente, Lanete, Kahulu.
So you are simply saying that to be accurate in your sound doctrine, it requires hard work. It requires time outside the world to concentrate and be in prayer, agonize before the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to help you to dissect the truth of the scripture, and that is not found in people who are playing around. It's found in real hard work. No sound doctrine emanates from guessing, second guessing the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Blowing the scriptures out of proportion. A friend of mine sent me a video just this week. On a WhatsApp. And I opened it. And then before I opened it, it's written this word, "Come as you are." And it opened the picture of the church. And then it shows people worshiping inside the church.
And
Peter standing behind the pulpit, preaching naked. And he was saying, and there are people sitting there, some were dressed, some were naked. He said, the Bible says we should come as we are. We don't have to have clothes on, we are born this way. The way you feel comfortable in the worship of God, just come. That is the result of adulterating the scriptures. Because people avoid hard work. Prayer is one of the hard works that a Christian goes through. Prayer is no church pay.
Especially
in winter. And you feel the warmth of your blanket and you have to wake up and pray. You procrastinate until such time you have no time to pray at all. You are ready to go to work now. And you come to work, there are duties of the house also. There's no time to separate yourself. By the time you finish cooking and doing other things and watching the soapies, it's almost half past nine. The body is exhausted. You go set another day without prayer. There is no connection between God. In fact, lack of prayerlessness because of lack of hard work, it's simply pointing a finger unto the Lord that I can do it without you. A Christian without prayer, the hard work of prayer,
it's
you are simply saying to God, I can do without you. And Paul is saying a hardworking farmer ought to be first to receive the share of the crops. You don't go to the farm where you have not worked the hard to plow and plant. And lastly, chapter verse 7, consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the descendant of David, according to my gospel. The only thing that keeps us going as Christians, that motivates us, is the remembrance of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the descendant of David. Because that's where our victory lies. Our change of lifestyle was because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He defeated the ultimate enemy of man. Nobody ever before rose himself from the dead. The book of Acts is filled with preaching where the disciples or the apostles were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why even today we worship on the first day of the week. We copy this from the early church as they started gathering on the first day of the week. Because that signified the victory over death, the ultimate enemy of man. Because that's the day when our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Even when we take the Holy Communion, participate in the Lord's Supper, it is said by Christ Himself and Apostle Paul, do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you remembering? Suffering, the execution on the cross,
the resurrection,
the ultimate victory. So Paul is saying to Timothy, be strengthened. As you're going through persecutions of pastoring a church, as you're going through persecution of being a Christian and called all other kinds of names, when you feel like you're left aside, all women are getting married and you're looking for an alternative to say that if I can have a boyfriend and just have a child, when you are unemployed and 5 years has gone by, where you are even a breadwinner, you are thinking of some alternatives. You are willing to sin in order to get a way to get something on the table.
So kudumela hore ka mpe wa etsa sebe hore o thole setseng se tsatsang ka fuleng.
Paul says,
Paulo se hore,
rather be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ.
E ba le matla mo mohau mo le ho Jesu
Kriste. Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Etsa jwalo ka nna, jwalo nna ka nna ke etsa ke tsa mora na Jesu.
Do as I've done, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Suffer hardship
with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
MacArthur
said this word some years ago. He said that the most sweetest Christians I ever met are those who suffered the most. Jonathan Edwards, after the church for 23 years, he taught them the deep things of God. One day, after 23 years of his pastoral work, the church decided to come together and to throw him out of the church. And they did not only throw him out of the church, they spread lies about him so that no church would have him as pastor. And the reason was that he insisted before anybody can partake on the Lord's table, he needs to profess Christ publicly as Lord and Savior. They said that's going too far. And he spent the remaining time of his life speaking to 18 Indians at third grade level. And then one college, theological college, they came to him and asked him to come and be their president. And he refused. He said, I'm not worthy. They insisted. He came and be their president.
President,
and within 6 months he was with the Lord.
After 6 months,
a heartbroken man.
Ana le pelo e robehileng.
Those are some of the stories that we have seen. Hardship is an integral part of Christianity. Discipline is an integral part of Christianity. Nobody entangles himself in affairs of this world or everyday life in order to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, as we run this race, we compete according to the rules. We don't get out of the set rules. Now, most of you would know, just in conclusion, John Benson. Back in the 80s, he was one of the most renowned athletes. From Canada. He used some dopes. And then he ran to outpace everybody. And he was tested thereafter. And they found that there was a dose of ecstasy in the body. And he was stripped of the mantle. Also, Marion Jones, most of you would know her.
Marian Jones.
She even suffered a 3-year prison after so many medals that she won, because it was found that there was a dope in the blood. He never competed according to the rules. Brethren, I would like to end right here. Apostle Paul, as he is departing from the earth, he's so concerned about this young Christian. He pours his heart out to him. If you're not going to learn the lessons of being strengthened in the Lord by being disciplined, enduring suffering, keeping within the rules, hard working as a Christian, you're not
worth
before the
Master.
Even Jesus Christ prayed before his crucifixion that the sword was turned into blood. Hard work in the area of prayer. The Bible says Apollos was eloquent and mighty in scriptures. Apollos.
Oh, Apostle Apollos, unanali mata mun niting ya evangelist.
He was a hard-working man around the scriptures. Yet he only knew the baptism of John. Ask yourself how much time you spend on the
word,
as opposed to reading all other gossip magazines and newspapers. How much time you spend on prayer as opposed to watching television? How much time do you devote and put aside and pray for your church and your leadership? You ever lead your children in prayer before the Lord? You ever pray for your partner earnestly before the Lord and agonize in prayer? Or
are
you just taking the grace of God for granted? I want to submit to you, my friend, this morning, if you're seated here. If you found none of this principle residing in your heart this morning,
which
sin is still fun unto you, my friend, try holiness. Try hard work. Consider joy when persecutions are coming your way,
where
is your reward in heaven?
Let's bow our heads.